The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of morning prayer today. A special word of welcome today to all our children and members of the Sunday School, as today our Sunday School is recommencing. It's lovely to see everybody back. Hope everybody who's gone back to school this week has got on okay. It's that time of year, isn't it, when everybody has to get ready to go back to all the activities after the summer, including school, unfortunately, for some. Today begins a very special week in the life of our parish, as we will be celebrating our 90th anniversary next Sunday. So there are some special things that are happening over the next weekend. We're looking forward very much to a community fun day on Saturday between 2 and 4. There are all sorts of activities lined up for that. You'll see lots of information about that on the website and the Facebook page. We hope you can come and you can invite friends and neighbours, and we hope it'll be an opportunity just to let the community know the sorts of things that are on offer here. And we hope it'll be a wonderful afternoon for all who visit. There'll be lots of activities. There'll be bouncy castles and barbecue, and there's a pet farm, all sorts of things happening on Saturday afternoon. We're hoping it's not going to be an afternoon like yesterday afternoon, but we hope it'll be a great fun afternoon, and there'll be lots of things happening. So do come along if you can to that on Saturday between 2 and 4. And next Sunday, which is the actual date of the foundation of the church, there'll be a celebration of Holy Communion at 9 o'clock. And at 11 o'clock, there's going to be a special service, and we look forward to welcoming Bishop David as our preacher at that special service. And next Sunday evening at 7, the service of evening prayer. Just a couple of things to mention for the week that is to come. One or two things I didn't mention on the notices. This Tuesday at 7:30, the Select Vestry will be meeting in the church hall. And all the other regular activities are happening throughout the week, including Pilates on Wednesday evening. They're back in action. And advance notice that the Mothers Union area service takes place on Thursday week. That's the 15th of September in Knockbreda Parish Church. And that service will be at 7:30. So members of the Mothers Union might want to note that date of Thursday, the 15th of September. Today in our service, we're going to be thinking a little bit about the cost of following Jesus, or the cost of discipleship, and what that might look like in our daily lives. But as we come together, we're going to sing together our opening hymn. The hymn, "New Every Morning Is the Love."
Thank you. Our service this morning is morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship, praise, and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, and to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's stand together for our psalm, Psalm 1. Blessed are they.
Blessed are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the assembly of the scornful. Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on his law day and night. Like a tree planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither, whatever they do, it shall prosper. As for the wicked, it is not so with them. They are like chaff which the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked shall not be able to stand in the judgment, nor the sinner in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Please take your seats for the reading.
Our Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 18, beginning to read at verse 1. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now therefore, say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says, look, I'm preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your action. This is the word of the Lord.
It's time now for our children and young people to go out for Sunday school. Have a great morning, and it's an absolute pleasure to see you back. And the rest of us, we're going to stand and sing together. We'll sing this through twice, Spirit of the Living God. Please take your seats.
Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Luke in the 14th chapter, beginning at the 25th verse. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation, while the other is still a long way off, and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." This is the word of the Lord.
Towards the end of our last year, our last term, some of us got together and we looked at something called a sanctuary course. And it's an invitation for people to have a conversation about mental health, mental good health, and difficulties that sometimes we all have. And we are starting this and opening this up on the evening of Wednesday, the 21st. At 7:45 p.m. in the coffee bar. And what we're going to show you now is a brief introduction to the sanctuary course.
Something had happened that triggered so much anxiety for me that my mind couldn't stop and I was getting increasingly depressed. I felt like life was about to end.
I was struggling with anorexia and bulimia. I was so broken.
I'm not in any danger and I'm just breathing like something bad had really happened.
I thought, I'm always sad. If you dig deep, there'll be this river of sadness that flows underneath everything.
Sense of the world closing in on me. Horrible, horrible experience.
I started to have delusions. I was not reading reality properly. I was really scared.
I thought, there's no reality.
It's hard to see a way that this could be different, but hang in there, get help, because it really can be different.
The way I performed or looked externally didn't seem to align with what other people thought depression looked like. They're like, oh, well, you're okay. Oh, well, you're in school. Oh, you're getting A's. You're fine.
Culturally, mental health issues is just not recognized in the Asian American experience. There was certainly a kind of a stigma attached to it.
I felt so much shame. I couldn't let somebody else into that world.
It's critical to normalize. Don't stick our heads in the sand and not recognizing there is someone in your congregation that is dealing with some issue related to mental health.
We all need to lament together, articulating our sadness and recognizing that even in our sadness, God is there.
Your struggles, your suffering, your diagnoses do not exclude you from belonging. Those things are welcome to be talked about.
Resist the temptation to seclude, to stigmatize people experiencing mental health challenges. Listen deeply, come alongside, and treat as a holistic, multifaceted person.
Mental health is important because it cuts to the very heart of our experience of being human beings.
Do some work and do some learning. Find empathy and compassion for real people having real experiences.
When there is a hand that can guide you through God, it will be inspiring to know that there's someone there who may be able to help you.
God is here, and I think a really good church community would say, and we are here too.
If this is a conversation that interests you, or you think it might be interesting to someone you know, would you please come and have a quick word with Jonathan or speak with me and let us know, because this would be something that would be good for all of us. Let's stand together and say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. A special prayer for today, the 12th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than either we desire or deserve. Pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us for those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, save through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's sing together, "Your Kingdom Come, O God."
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the tricks of the advertising industry is to draw us into a reality that's not yet ours. Let me give you a few examples. Let's suppose it is a damp Tuesday in January, and after a miserable journey to and from work with lots of delays, this brochure arrives in the post. And it's a brochure that's inviting you to buy a second property on the Spanish coast. The pictures are absolutely gorgeous. There's a happy family having a barbecue by the pool. There are blue skies. And now with direct flights from both Belfast and Dublin, you can be there in just a matter of hours. And it's not hard to be attracted by those images after the day and the journey that you've just had. Or maybe you've decided one evening that you're going to go to the cinema, and just before the show starts, you see this amazing little presentation, and it involves this bunch of people dropping out of a plane and parachuting to the ground, dressed in combat fatigues and camouflage. And it's followed by an invitation to join the territorial army now for a life of adventure. Now, both of those advertisements that I'm mentioning give us an aspect of the truth that both of these things can bring to people's lives. But what they don't do is they don't mention the hours, the extra hours that you might have to work in order to pay off a second mortgage. Or they don't mention perhaps the problems that you might encounter living in a country that doesn't speak your language. Or that image of joining the territorial army is one that features the life of adventure, but it doesn't include those solemn images that we're familiar with in times of war, where young people are carried in coffins onto military planes, and they arrive back in some military airbase to devastated families. Any advertiser who's worth his salt will want to give us the best possible picture to attract us to part with our cash or to make some life change that we think could be for us. And in some ways, that exact same criticism could be leveled at Christianity as well. There is a strand of evangelistic outreach that's known as the health and wealth gospel. Compelling speakers and evangelists urge us to give our lives to Christ and tell us that all our problems will be over. It's suggested that we might phone our credit card number into a particular show on the TV, and then we'll be able to receive these books or CDs that will change our life forever with their powerful teaching. And the slick presentation and the beautiful people are a far cry from the shocking words of Jesus in today's gospel reading. And one of the things which saddens me sometimes is the huge ignorance in people's minds about the message of Christianity. Maybe they've heard snippets in church or on television, and they've concluded that what they've heard must be what Christianity is all about. And yet very often those perceptions are so different to what Jesus actually said, or the content of our faith as revealed through the scriptures. And that's why I'm constantly encouraging people to read the Bible for themselves. And there's lots of great resources to do that these days, whether they're online resources or resources that you can pick up in any Christian bookshop, Bible reading notes, other resources that will help you to read and apply the Bible to your daily life. Or it's also why I'm always encouraging people to do things like the Alpha Course over 10 weeks or so, where again you have that opportunity to hear the claims of Christianity presented and discussed in an open way. So then people are in a position to make a properly informed decision about whether this is something they want to pursue or whether they want to have nothing to do with. And it's good to make those kinds of decisions when we're more properly or completely informed, rather than to carry a terrible misrepresentation, maybe based on some bad experience somewhere. And again, we maybe have had those experiences ourselves, where we went to church at a point in our lives and we were not made welcome. We struggled to make connections with people. Nobody spoke to us. And so we decided after that experience, I'm going to leave this thing and not really explore it any further. But when Jesus spoke the rather shocking words that he spoke in today's gospel reading, he was on his way to Jerusalem. And he knew that he was on his way to the cross, while all the crowds who followed him thought that he was on his way to Jerusalem to build an empire. So there were two very different things going on. And that maybe explains why Jesus spoke to people in the terms that he did. And so when he tells them to hate their nearest and dearest, he doesn't mean this literally, but what he means is that no love in life must compare to the love that we have for him. And I guess ultimately what this passage is suggesting to us from Luke's gospel is that it's possible to be a follower of Jesus without really being a disciple or a learner or someone who's trying to find out more about what it is to have him at the center of our lives. One commentator that I read suggests that one of the supreme handicaps of the church in our day is that there are so many distant followers of Jesus and so few disciples. And unlike the advertisements that I mentioned at the beginning, a Christian's first duty is to count the cost of following Jesus. Because much is asked and much is expected of those who seek to be his disciples. And Jesus himself mentions the cost in terms of loss of family ties, where often families are divided in their allegiance to him or indeed to other things. Jesus also mentions the cost in terms sometimes of our income and responding materially to the call to follow him, where we're invited to be sacrificial in our giving, to put the needs of others before our own. Jesus, even in other parts of the gospel, mentions the possible loss of life through martyrdom. So these are very big possibilities that he puts in front of us when we make that decision to follow him. And while we live in a part of the world where that extreme is unlikely to be the case, there are those in different parts of our world this morning for whom that decision to follow Jesus is one that is filled with risk and danger and even the possibility of the loss of life. And if we're daunted by the challenges of following Jesus, and we wouldn't be human if we weren't, let's remember, and this is really important, that we're not left to follow these challenges alone. Because he who has called us to the steep road of following him will walk with us every step of the way and will be there at the end to meet us. Today's reading reminds us of the importance of having the full picture before we decide to follow Jesus or indeed to reject him. And as we look ahead to our 90th anniversary celebrations over this next week, and there'll be other events over the course of the autumn, I'm very conscious this morning that as I stand here, I'm part of a very privileged group of just four people who've been the rector of St. Finian's since the church's foundation in 1932. And it's almost 13 years to the month, almost, not quite, 1 month short, since I remember this church being absolutely filled to capacity for my institution. And that was a wonderful evening of encouragement and support for me personally. But I don't recall the church being as full since then. And Christianity constantly speaks to us about the challenge of staying faithful after the big events and continuing continuing to follow Jesus, even when we might feel discouraged, even when we might feel in a minority, even when the rest of society seems to have made different choices than the choice that we make to follow him. And what it's about is being willing to be shaped by him rather than imposing upon him our agenda. Some years ago, during one of our holidays, I had the opportunity to go to County Kilkenny to visit the workshop of Nicholas Moss Pottery. I have to say, it wasn't my choice to go there, and I mightn't be the greatest pottery enthusiast in the world, but when I did go there, I was genuinely impressed and moved and touched to see the way that these incredible craftsmen and women were able to shape an ordinary piece of clay into something so beautiful as other people then painted and glazed it and made it into something very special. The prophet Jeremiah, in our first reading today, he asks the question of us. And I suppose we could say it's kind of like background to our gospel reading today, as he compares God to the master potter. And he asks that question of you and of me: are we willing to be shaped by the hand of God? Are we willing to listen to his word and to what he asks or wants of us? It's only as we are and as we surrender to his commands that we're told we actually, rather than lose everything, we find true life. And just as we saw in that video from the sanctuary course, when things are broken in our lives, for whatever reason, God, the master potter, is able to restore whatever is broken in our lives into something new and something beautiful. And that's a wonderful message to have received and embraced, I can only say, for my own life. And that's what we want to continue to reach out and to share over the next generation, over the next 90 years and more in the life of this church. Let us pray. Lord God, we pray today for the path of discipleship in each of our lives. Help each one of us to weigh up the cost and still be able to respond joyfully to your call to follow you. And we pray for the different places that we all seek to do that in our daily lives, in our homes and our families, in our schools and our workplaces, in our interactions and dealings with other people, maybe as we go shopping or travel or pursue our hobbies. Help us not to be ashamed of the faith dimension of our lives. And we pray that you'd give us the right words and the humbleness of spirit to share it in a sincere and helpful way with those around us. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations of the world, and we pray this morning for all efforts to bring peace in Ukraine, between Russia and Ukraine. We pray this morning for essential gas supplies to Europe from Russia to be reconnected. We also pray for wisdom and diplomacy to prevail in seeking imaginative solutions to ending the conflict. We continue to pray for all Ukrainian refugees settling into this land, And we pray for all who welcome them into their homes and their neighborhoods. We pray also this morning for all in Pakistan after the recent floods. And we pray that the government and aid agencies would work well together to bring essential help to all those who have been affected by this disaster. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the sick, for the poor, and for those in any kind of trouble. And we pray today for all who are watching and waiting with family who are seriously ill. Lord, we ask that your presence would bring comfort and peace in the midst of anxiety and stress. We give thanks today for all who work in nursing homes and hospitals and who care in the community. And we pray for them in the demanding nature of their work every day. May they be given all the resources that they need to make a difference in people's lives. Lord, in your mercy. And we want to take a quiet moment now just to bring before God any who are particularly in our thoughts or on our minds as we come to church today. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let's now stand and sing together. Take up thy cross, our Saviour said.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us this morning for our service here. And if you have been joining us at home online, it is lovely to be worshiping with you. We close with a blessing prayer. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you now and always. We close our service by singing together, O Jesus, I Have Promised.